Shalom lekulam. Nachnu lomdim
hayom. Hello to everyone. We are studying today from the book The Tree of Life, page 1, branch 1.
B'meshech kol hadorot. Throughout time, we didn't have many Kabbalists, like theory. You could say the greatest Kabbalist after the authors of the Zohar. That Baal Sulam was very proud that he was rewarded with the Ibu of the soul of Ali. And he would be able to interpret the writings of Ali. And the important book that Ari wrote is The Tree of Life. The Tree of Life alone, as it's written by Ari, we can read in the writings of Ali. But it's difficult for us to understand unless we study it together with the two interpretations of Baal Sulam. Panim Meirot and Panim Mazbirot. Really start with the writings of Ari, and below is the Panim Meirot, and then there's the Panim Mazbirot. According to the writing of Ari, that are above. It's a very special book, like I said.
There's no greater book in the book in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's a book that is much deeper. There is no other deeper book than this in Kabbalah. It basically is where all of the wisdom of Kabbalah is founded upon. With the book of Zohar, we can't attain. It's truly above our comprehension and attainment, and we use it mostly as a light of virtue, except for the few parts that are there, that the Idra Rabba, Idra Zuta, Safa Disnuta, which are written in the language of Kabbalah. All the rest in the book of Zohar we cannot understand unless it's with the commentary of Baal Sulam. The writings of the Ari we can understand somewhat, but with the commentary of Baal Sulam here, Panim Meirot and Panim Masbirot, and later in the study of Ten Sfirot, Or Pnimi, certainly we can understand the book. But first of all, we will concentrate even as a virtue at the writings of the Ari themselves, as they are above, they're in the Hebrew book, they're bolded. We will try while we're reading them to connect to them, and this is how we will continue. So, God willing, we will see benefit from this great book. Please. First, we'll read above, as usual, and then below. Each and every item. Yes. Branch 1, Item 1. Know that prior to the emanation of the emanated and the creation of the created, the upper light was simple and it filled all of reality. And there was no void place that was free as far as empty space or air, that, and everything was filled from the light of Insof, that simple light. And there was no p'china of Rosh or Sof, but rather everything was one simple, equal, and one equality light called the light of Ein Sof.
Again,
know that prior to the emanation of the emanated and the creation of the created, there was a simple upper light that filled all of reality, and there was no void or empty space as far as empty air or voids, but rather everything was filled with the light of Ein Sof, that simple light, and there was no prina of Rosh or Sof, but rather everything was one simple light, equal in one equality, and it was called the light of Ein Sof.
In short, there was the light of Ein Sof that was filling all of the area, place, and that's why you couldn't differentiate anything in that place in terms of Rosh, Toch, Sof, and so on. Because it was all covered by the light of Ein Sof. And what's he explaining to us below?
Panim Meirot, illuminating face, item 1. There was the upper light and so on, will imply to us in the beginning of his words that all that he speaks of in this book is not of his essence of Atzmuto, but in his light which expands from Atzmuto. And the whole reality before us, both the upper worlds and the lower worlds, are all the expansion of light from his Atzmut, his essence. We discern in this general reality two main things. First, it's called the light of Ein Sof Baruch Hu, which is the form of the general reality prior to the restriction. And two, these are the five worlds and all of their fillings, which are Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, which is the form of expansion of light from Atzmuto, from the restriction, downwards. And all the lights and corrections that are mostly in these two that extend from the initial one.
We'll learn in short excerpts, and if you have any questions, immediately raise your hand. If they have anything to add, I'll add, but in the meantime, it's very general matters that are very clear to begin with. But if anyone wants to ask, please. What's he saying? That we have in front of us a state that in the meantime we can't discuss because the light of Ein Sof fills it, and according to the quality of light, this place is not felt in any way, but that the light is filling it. Onward.
Symbol. From the restriction downwards, you have no light that will not be made up of the prina of Kli, which is the light that has been coarsened. Although prior to the restriction, there is no change in form that is made up of the light that spreads from it at all, but rather a simple light in the name, in the secret of him and his name are one.
So to say that in the beginning there's a light of Ein Sof, and then the light goes through a restriction, a tzimtzum, and then after the tzimtzum, then it starts to be categorized into different lights according to the kli that restricts it.
Filling all of reality and so on, meaning even though there is in this reality a place necessarily which is the matter of the will to receive from his essence, which is made up of the light of Ein Sof, seemingly as this desire is the meaning of the place of this reality, as it is written in Panim Masbirot. But there wasn't there, because of that, any manner of coarsening of the light. And therefore, there was no siyum or gvul, end or boundary. And the light of Ein Sof filled all of that place, even the last prina.
Here we still talk about the light of Ein Sof that expands to the emanated without any restrictions, without any differences, completely equal. There's no afronot, discernments, and that's why it doesn't even let us feel that this place that it fills is in any changes in any different discernments or categorized differently. The light of Ein Sof fills the place and it brings it to a certain state. Onward.
A place that is free of air and an empty void. Due to the restriction, these three diminutions occurred, as we will describe.
After, in this place that the light was filling without any boundaries, without any differentiation, there was a tzimtzum, a restriction, and after that, then there was a differentiation. What's the side, what's the top, what's the bottom, what's the degrees, and all these differences, these changes. And when the light of himself left that place, that it wasn't filling it, and he gives the place its quality, it doesn't correct the place by filling it, then we see the changes in the place. In the place, there's many discernments. First, it's an empty place, these places of air that are empty is after the light leaves, departs.
And there was no manner of prina of rosh or prina of suf. From the root of restriction, two diminutions extended. First, the matter of the emtza and suf, middle and end, which are the ten sfirot of igulim. And two, is the prina of rosh, which is the matter of the ten sfirot of yosher, of a straight line.
After the light was restricted and supposedly departed, then we see in that place two shapes that are normally existing, that are essential, that are the igulim, the circles, the lights that are circled in that place, and the lights that come and fill the place in the shape of a line. These are the two shapes. And this we'll learn later on too. The light and the line. The light in a line, the light in a circle. Igulim and Yoshel.
And it is called the light of Ein Sof because it has no circle even. We can't even differentiate. We sometimes say that it's round to say how it is without discernments. But in Ein Sof, there's not even the discernment of an igul, of a circle. This is how we went through item one, questions. The more questions, the more we can discern. There are many details here.
Student from Ashkelon is asking, what is a place? Is it a quality itself that's a place?
The place is that which the Creator created, which is desire. And the light, which is the Creator himself, fills the place according to the desire of the place. Meaning, to start with, the Creator created the place. But later, the filling of that place depends only on the state that this place presents. Yes.
It's written that before the emanations were emanated.
Yes, prior to the emanation and the creation, meaning that there were no limitations before that of emanated, created, those that are made, which are the kilim that are in the worlds of Atzilut, Yetzirah, Briah, Asiyah, where they are called that way, the four kinds of kilim, vessels, and still all these worlds, these places, world from the word olam comes from the word he'elem, concealment, and this happens after the restrictions, after the upper light departs from it. And then when it returns in a partial manner to all kinds of parts of this circle that it was filling, and therefore the fillings, these limited fillings that the upper light fills, we call worlds, olamot, and then we discern in it five worlds, the world of Ein Sof, which is general still. Then we say Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, Asiyah. All together, five worlds. Yes.
Question from Alexander from Russia. In what language is Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life, written?
In Hebrew? It's all written in Hebrew, except for the Zohar that was written partially in Aramaic. But all the Kabbalah books are in Hebrew. Even the book of Adam Arishon called Raziel the Angel is written in Hebrew.
Maybe the question is in the language of Kabbalah or one of the other languages?
No. In the language of Kabbalah, the Tree of Life was written in the language of Kabbalah. We don't use in essence, we don't use the wisdom of Kabbalah in any other form or other language other than the language of Kabbalah. We, as an assistive manner, we draw the texts that are written in different ways. The Bible, the tales, the language of the Talmud, but that's only as a help from them. Yes.
A bit of background. Tree of Life is written before Taz?
The Tree of Life was written in the 15th century by the Ari. The commentary of Panim and Miriam Smolot was written before Taz.
If he wrote it here, then why write it in Taz? What's the difference between them?
Certainly, Taz takes the Tree of Life and all the rest of the verses of the... There we have from all the writings of the Ari. We can see this there in Taz. Just... We can see, just like he wrote it above, we can see that he also defined it that way in Tess, and that's where we have many more examples. Bala Sulam wanted to do a book that will first of all be founded on the Tree of Life, which is the main book, and he himself is the incarnation of the Ari, meaning he understood what the Ari wrote and was truly, he entered his shoes, if you could say so. And other than that, he wanted as much as possible to interpret the Ari, to bring him to the broad public. Because the Ari is nevertheless a Kabbalist, and he's acceptable on everyone. The holy Ari, and so on. What you can say or not, but this name made a very big impression on Judaism. And you don't have anyone in... the people of Israel that can talk disregardingly of the Ari, although no one understands him and everyone disregards the wisdom of Kabbalah, but the Ari is something that the people have been impressed by him, that it's something above everything. Why? Ask them, they won't be able to tell. But that's how it is. It's certain... we're driven that way from above. That's why he wanted to do the writings of the Ari this way. And in truth, also the study of Ten Sefirot, he wrote upon all the parts of the Ari, mostly on the Tree of Life. And if we were to read here onwards, you will see how much this text is truly almost completely copied into the study of Ten Sefirot. And in the beginning of the book, there's almost no difference. Branch 1, branch 2, just like there, part 1, part 2. Although here it's shorter. And also, Bala Sulam wanted, it at least seems so, that he wanted to expand on the study of Ten Sefirot, to write their additions, but he didn't manage to get to that. More questions?
What's the process of the expanding the light that constructs the Kli? It's written that the light expanded and...
the light coarsens, meaning the light fills the Kli. The light itself has no coarsening or expansion. There's no actions in the light, although we speak in such a manner as the light is operating and working. But rather, the light evokes the kelim, operates the kelim, but the kelim that change by the light are then already influencing, bestowing the light that's expanding in them, and that's how we say that the light makes itself. But in truth, the light changes the kli, and the kli begins to take on in a new way the lights, and that's why we say in such a way that the light expands and changes the kli. But this happens from within. The light operates behind the screens. More?
The light expands, or when it departs, And that place, that empty place, is discovered. What does it mean? What's the action, the departure of the light is the creation, and it made all of these different parts?
Yeah, you can't demand it here from the first page like you're asking here. In the beginning, there was a place that was filled with light. Then what happened is called the restriction, Tzimtzum, where the light departed. Because all that happens to us, just as we learn the actions on behalf of the Kelim. So the Kli operated in such a way that the light left it. That's how we talk. Although, in reality, the light operates everything. But we want to talk from the side of the Kelim because it's closer to us, to our reality, and what we need to do. Therefore, there's seemingly a sort of imprecise thing. So who's operating, the light or the Kli? Because we discover the actions on behalf of the Kelim, and in the lights we don't attain. Also, the lights that we talk about, they're also Kelim. When a Kli changes, we say about that that it's the light operating. And accordingly, we talk about the action of the light. The lights we don't attain. Only the changes in the Kli give us the discernments of the lights.
Beginning, when it was emanated, that he had a desire to do good, and the light came out and created the place.
Well, I'm hearing. You're taking from all kinds of places that you heard.
I want to understand from where it begins. What's this beginning? When does it start? After...
No, read, that prior to the emanation of the emanated and the creation of the creations, prior, before everything, there was the simple upper light that fills all of reality. I don't know what this reality is, but the upper light fills it. And in this reality, he writes, there was no free place as far as empty air or void. But why was there not? Because everything was filled with the light of Insof, the simple light. And then this place was simply filled equally from all sides without any differences. And there wasn't a Rosh and not a Sof. No beginning, no end. Everything was one simple light. Simple meaning no differences. Equal in one equality. And it is called the light of Insof. Yes.
So the light came out from the emanation together with the Kli?
It's not written about that. So don't add. It's written that prior to the emanation of the emanated, there was a place before everything. Before everything, there was a place that the light of Insof filled equally. That's it.
That's the beginning of the creation?
Probably. That's not written either. Learn what's written. Don't be smart that you heard something in some other place. Otherwise, you'll be confused with everything that you seemingly know. But at least here, know what's written. If you concentrate only at this. Yes, there was someone there.
Can I ask again, what's light?
Light is the upper force. Later we will learn it's the force of bestowal that bestows upon the desire, creates the desire, and does everything.
I have a question. It's a bit like Vlad's. An example from the morning lesson that there's a light that reforms?
Don't know.
And then we have a light, direct light, surrounding light?
Don't know. I am not going to study here on the first page what you heard in 1,000 lessons, and they have a big confusion in your head. I am not going to heal you and heal you and all of you. We're going to go in a different way. What's written is what we will learn. At least you will learn, you'll know this. If you don't start to be confused all the time with what you think you know, for your benefit, I'm saying this. We're going to continue reading. and item 2 of the Ari above. And when his simple desire brought forth to create the worlds and to emanate the emanated, and to bring forth the perfection of his actions and his names and appellations, as this was the reason for the creation of the worlds, as it is implied for us in branch 1.
No, we won't read that. That's adding. Well.
Okay, so again, item 2. And when his simple desire rose to create the worlds and emanate the emanated, to bring forth the perfection of his actions, his names and appellations, as this was the reason for the creation of the worlds. Item 2 in Panimirot. And when his desire rose, etc. Look at Panim Mirot Masbirot on this branch, and there it clarifies that the will to receive that is made up of the light of Insof is called in the example place, and it is the Malchut of Insof. Although it is not rise in a name on its own to be called place or Malchut, since its form is not different than the light at all. Hence, if you look in the chapters of Rabbi Elazar, Persian 1, prior to the creation of the world, there was him and his name were one. He implies the Pina of the place of Insof, and his name implies the manner of the place which is included with the light of Insof. Meaning, the will to receive of light from his essence. Because his name in Gematria is, his name in Gematria is desire, meaning that it is simple and one without any disparity of form between them in all their abilities. And when his simple desire arose to restrict, meaning that the desire which is the Malchut of Insof chose with greater adhesion and equivalence of form to the emanated, because necessarily in Malchut of Insof there is a prina of example of the change of form in the value of his essence. And due to this, it came out of emanated to being an emanated. And this is due to the force of the will to receive that is made there, that is included there and does not work in Atzmuto at all. Hence, the desire to restrict from Prina Dalit rose due to the reason of its choice of greater equivalence of form to the emanator and adhesion. To take out his perfection of his actions is all the actions of corrections that are spinned and brought forth in the worlds of Abiyah until the end of correction. And this implies that this whole spin was immediately the intention of the restriction and the rise of the desire by which the form of reception will return to the form of bestowal. And his names and his appellations, meaning the 13 measures of mercy, which are the first of all the corrections, who will eventually become, make a vessel of reception into a vessel of bestowal.
Please, what's not clear? Read again.
Okay, so when his desire arose, what is he trying to explain? That the desire to receive, which is made up of the world of light of Insof, is called, in the example of place, meaning the desire is called place. And it is Malchut of Insof. Although it does not rise in the name of his name itself to be called place or Malchut, because its form is not different to the light at all. Meaning it's truly exactly like the light. Meaning, and you can look at this portion in Rabbi Elazar, that prior to the creation of the world, there was him and his name as one. Meaning both the light and the desire were truly undifferentiated. And it will imply that the light of Insof, he is the light of Insof, and his name, the place. So the light and the desire were truly as one before creation, meaning before any differences were made. Meaning that the will to receive of light from his essence is name, meaning the desire to receive the light from his Atzmot, because in Gematria, name is desire. And this implies that he's simple and he's one without any change of form between them in all their ability. Meaning that the light of Insof, which fills the place, gives the place such qualities just like it is, and therefore the light that fills the Kli completely, as the Kli doesn't make any change, just as we learn, let's say, what is annulment? What is subjugation? If the Kli completely nullifies itself, the light fills it and gives it a quality like it itself. And then you can't differentiate between the light and the Kli. And when his simple desire arose to restrict, meaning, because the desire, which is Malchut of Ein Sof, chose greater adhesion and equivalence of form to the emanated. Meaning that something happened within that desire that the light was filling, that desire all of a sudden wanted even more to adhere to the light, not just to subjugate itself so that the light will fill it and completely make it like the light itself, but the desire wants more. And then that is called that he overcame, that he chose greater adhesion and equivalence of form to the emanated. From himself he wanted to do this. Not that the light is doing this to it, this quality of bestowal, but rather in its own desire he wanted to get to it, to the quality of bestowal. Because necessarily in the Malchut of Ein Sof there is a matter of example of the change in form in the value of his Atzmut. Meaning he feels different to the light. And due to this, he comes out of being an emanated to being emanated. That's why it's called emanated. He doesn't agree with that. And due to the desire of to receive that's in there, which does not exist in the will, in the creator at all. Hence, the desire wanted to restrict due to the choice in greater adhesion and equivalence of form to the emanated. Meaning, although inside the Kli, which was filled with the light of Ein Sof, there was no problem. It didn't need to do any action, because towards the light, it was 100% pure and in equivalence of form. But the Kli felt that he is not doing it itself, but it's the light that is filling him and making him that way. That he is subjugated, surrendered before the light, that he is willing to nullify before the light. But it's not that it itself, what's the problem? He felt that there's an action of his own that is missing, that he wants to be like the light. When can that happen? If he will restrict himself, and the light will depart from him, and when he will be alone, he will decide that he wants to be like the light. Then it will be at his expense. That's what he wants to reach. And that's what caused the first restriction and the whole process of creation until the end of creation. Next. To bring forth the perfection of his actions. That's what he wants, the Kli. This is the totality of all the corrections that come around and are spinning the worlds of Abya until the end of correction. And this means, I'm simply making like commas here, so I'm correcting as we go, that this whole round was, this whole revolution was a matter of restriction, and it will have to return to the end of correction, to that first state. That was that big spin there, that big revolution, with that all of this round was the intention of the restriction and the rising of the desire, that the desire wanted to rise like the light, as by this the form of reception will return to the form of bestowal. And his names and appellations, meaning the 13 measures of mercy, which are the heads of all these corrections, who will eventually make the vessel of reception into the vessel of bestowal. That's what we will learn later about the 13 measures of corrections. The main thing here is to understand that the light created the Kli, and it is the first. And then it created the Kli and filled the Kli itself. And then the Kli surrendered subjugated, became like the light. But the light that's in such a form feels that although it's like the light, and it's not lacking a thing, only one thing is missing, that I didn't do it. And then the light does a restriction. The Creator gives the Kli to do this. He does the restriction. He dispels the light, and it wants to be the first, the Kli, the creature. So he will decide that the light will enter, and will enter according to equivalence of form, and fill him until the level that it wasn't in self. That's the whole revolution. He calls it this round, this revolution. Okay?
It's not clear whom does he refer when he raised his desire.
When it came forth, his desire to create the...
Yeah, there's a creator, and then in the Panim Mayot, it's talking about...
That's still impossible to explain here, because the light and the Kli are still in equivalence. But certainly, even though the Kli does it, you can't say that it's the Kli, because the Kli is filled with the light, and therefore, eventually the Kli... Besides, you can't say like in our world that there's a difference between a light and a Kli. The light that fills the Kli gives the Kli the direct commands, the way the Kli exists, and also gives the Kli the commands kind of like around behind the scene, so that it will be something seemingly of its own and wants to behave that way, as if it's it.
Because there is the decision of Tzimtzum that caused the creation of the world, or the light of Ein Sof in Prinat Aleph. Is that the reason for all of the worlds?
The reason for the creation of the worlds is everything is in the Creator. Everything is in the light of Ein Sof. When can we start talking about the creature? Way later. But here we're talking in such a way as if the Kli decides to do a restriction. The Kli does something. It's clear that if the light is first, it is the deciding one, then everything that happens in this is defined by the light in a direct manner or in a, as he says, kind of like spins it. What does it matter? The main thing for us is that we need to see how the light brings the Kli down to the end, how the light seemingly disconnects from the Kli and gives the Kli to be independent completely, and the Kli, with all the preparations that the light made in it, seemingly identical, independent, comes back to the state that where the light was. From the first stage to the second to the third stage, as we learn.
The light guesses the action of the action that brings Dvikut, or is that what it intends?
In this place, we don't talk about such things. Get used to learning where we're learning, and not where it seems to you. Here, everything is defined by the light, even though we're reading the actions as if it is the Kli that's doing them. How could it be that the Kli itself now will cause the restriction, but rather the light nevertheless decides in such a way?
How does he have an ability to determine to have more dvikut, adhesion, according to the tzimtzum, restriction?
Because what is adhesion? Dvikut. Dvikut is considered that I am adhered to the upper, and not that the upper made me to be adhered to him. The fact that the Creator made me adhere to him is he made me in the level of inanimate. It's inanimate, just like you take clay and you make something, some form, and you put it on the windowsill somewhere. That's it. That's what you did. Is there something on that piece of clay or cast or whatever you did there? Nothing. You made it. Here we see that the Creator wants to develop in the creature, seemingly, that the creature will have a free state and can do corrections, and through the corrections reach on its own to that same degree that he was in the beginning. Evinsov, you need to be a little bit more flexible. It's not in mathematics just like that. The light operates behind the screens and everything. There's no state that it's not. But the question is towards the creature. Towards the creature. That's called the essence of knowledge that we won't know. Meaning only towards the created beings. Is a created being truly disconnected from the creator where he can be free? The answer is never. Can a creature really say that he decides? According to his feeling, yes. It's like with a baby, when you kind of like, you just turn him around like this and like that, and he thinks that he's doing it. But in truth, no. But we're talking about towards the creature, towards how it is depicted in him. Yes.
Question from Fabrizio in Argentina. What's the difference between place and a kli?
It's a difference between words that we will learn later. Place and kli belongs to the created being, only that the place is measured according to its emptiness, and kli is measured according to its ability to bestow. These are nuances that later will be clarified better. We will learn the differences more.
Gennad from Astana is asking, can we say that the simple or pashut is an impression of the kli according to the attitude of the creator to the creation?
The simple light, we are talking only towards, relative to the kilim. The light that fills the kli without any differences that are in the kli is called the simple light. As there's no discernment in it of degrees. More? That's it? We'll continue. Yes?
How do we need to relate to it? Can we see how we now do a correction? And we're talking in these lessons that we need to attribute everything to the Creator and take it as a root, a source?
We're learning what's written in the book. Other than that, we need to study together. Other than that, we need to think about the reforming light. Everything from the same study.
Simple way to look. Imagine that everything belongs to the light, and without the light and the clear, it does nothing. And keep trying to look at reality in this way that we're trying to attribute everything to the Creator.
Okay, yes, of course.
Other than a sgula of virtue.
Other than sgula virtue, I have no idea what you're saying. When I study, I need to study, as I was explained by the sages, that by this I awaken the lights, and the lights correct me, until I come to a state where I start to feel them, to work with them, in an active manner from my side. Well,
to look at the story, is it my own?
What does this have to do with you? We're talking about the roots of the world of Ein Sof started, and later cascaded all the way to this world, and we're a result of them.
There's a lot of depictions, images here.
Your problem is that you're as if you came from the campus to this thing. That's your problem. Why can't you learn as if it'll be as new in your eyes? For the first time you're seeing it. You have many mistakes, many confusions, and you're dragging them to here. This will also be a confusion. I can already see how much you're not capable of studying correctly.
What's correct?
Correct, like you didn't ever learn anything before. Before this, you didn't learn anything. That's called correct. Every day, a new page. No, he's okay like this, and he's like that, and what's this? That's not how you learn. Because you can't know anything that you're certain that you understood it correctly. Leave everything that you learned before. As if there is nothing. That's the most healthiest approach.
How can it be that we learn in the morning that everything needs to be throughout the day to try and be in intent to hold one another in intention and attribute everything to the Creator, and we continue in the lesson?
Continue here still with the intention that you're here, you're holding the 10 and the Creator and all that. That's fine, continue. But don't take to hear the not your information, your knowledge, their so-called knowledge from the previous studies. Okay. What do you want, Baruch?
What's a shape? Creation of the expansion of light?
Form.
What is it?
A form is... how can I say instead of form? The special form of the kli. The manner of the kli is called form.
What is the change of form?
The change meaning the change of the kli. That's what means the change. It was more, it was less. Chasadim, chokhmah. That's called a change in form.
We usually talk about the equipments of form. The exchange of qualities. What is it that's written here? The adhesion for the emanation? What is it?
Whatever is in the emanated, the same form of bestowal, is also in the kli, the same form of bestowal. That's called the equivalence of form. Anything there, someone? Okay, yes?
I want to focus on the intention. For now, in the Zohar, you told us to focus more on intention and less on the understanding. Now, I don't know how to digest this.
The intention needs to be that the study will bring us adhesion between us and with the Creator. All together, that's what we want. That's it. Other than that, we want to learn how he interprets these words and to be in adhesion with him with the study itself. And through this study, to also come to adhesion. Yes.
I can't be in intention and listen to you and understand and participate in what you want to pass to us. It's difficult to be in the intention and also to understand.
Sometimes you will have states where it's easier for you to study in a more superficial way, intellectual way, and sometimes it'll be easier for you to study with the intention, where you're longing, where you're wanting. There's this and there's that. That's how we learn. We are made up of mind and heart. And that's why both this and that exist in us. Yes?
What's important for us in this evening lesson that you wanted to open to us, the tree of life? You wanted to open it.
First of all, here we're learning the Ari and Bala Sulam in a true natural way of theirs. That's one thing. Secondly, we are learning reality that they wanted to tell us about. But the reality that we're learning, we need to also think how it operates on us. So we're learning the intention already, how it operates, how we need to adapt ourselves to that reality. Item 3 in the Ari's words. And then he restricted himself on the middle point that's in him, in the true middle, and restricted that light and distanced to the sides of the surrounding middle point. And then a free place remained, and air, and an empty space from the middle point truly. Again, item 3. And then he restricted himself in the middle point that is in him, in the middle, and he restricted that light and expanded to the sides of his surroundings of that middle point, And then what remained is a free point from air and an empty space and void from the middle point. Item 3 below. Restricted himself, meaning he diminished the greatness of the desire to receive in it, because the four prinot are existent in the will to receive, called Chochmah, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut. And the Gadlut, the greatness of the desire, is called Malchut, as it is the fourth prina. In the middle point, meaning in the restricted place, which is clarified by a round picture, spherical, and each sphere is made by its end in its center, meaning the middle point in it, and it is the last prina. In the true middle, in this fourth picture itself, in this picture, the fourth itself includes the first three, and says that the desire rose only from the last prina of prina dalet, but not from the first three prinot in her. Meaning, just like the middle of the middle of the prina dalet in them. And he restricted that light, the rising of the desire that did not want to receive to the extent of prina dalet, and this is the matter of the departure of the light, is one thing. Because you should not depict in spirituality any essence that will be not for the desire. And distanced to the sides of his surroundings and so on means, after the restriction, when the light departed, in that restricted place there are considered four sides, meaning four prinot of desire, chub and tum, which are future to receive special illuminations from one another. And he says that it distances from the prina dalet to the sides of the surrounding of that middle point, meaning to the prina gimel, the three sides, which are chub and tiferet. Chochmah, Binah, and Tiferet. And this then remains with an empty space and air and void. Three innovations came out with this restriction. One is the free place, meaning that it became free to receive corrections and perfection, as in the light of Ein Sof, there was no such place. Two, empty air, which is because the departure of the light from all four prinot of prina dalet, and in the three initial prinot, it returned later with the illumination of the line. Therefore, it was inscribed there in the three prinot, empty air, avir rekani, as we will learn in panim mirot and masbirot. And third is called the empty, the free space, is the last prina in prina dalet, because the desire was distanced from it and therefore did not bring the light of the line there, and it left as an empty void, and it is qualified to receive there its primordial light until the end of correction. From the actual middle point, meaning the last point of prina dalet, and although also in the first three prinot, the restriction had an effect as well, meaning prior to the coming of the line, although because there was no restriction on their behalf whatsoever, hence the restriction is only considered for the last prina of all the corrections are for.
We'll go over it again,
yes?
Yep.
With this explanation. Okay. So item 3 above. And then he restricted itself in the middle point, which is in it, in the true middle. Meaning we are talking about a circle, the igul. We have the igul, the circle, and inside the igul we have the center, because the beginning of the igul is in its center. And then it restricted itself in the center, in the true middle, and restricted that light and distanced the light, expanded distance to the sides of the middle point. And then an empty space remained, and empty air and void from that middle point. That's it. Meaning that after the light distanced, there are all kinds of circles here. Circles. Meaning that the light distanced. What is he then saying to us? Item 3 below. Restricted himself. What is restricted himself? Meaning. And the diminishing of the greatness of the will to receive that's in it. Meaning that Malchut of Insof, that was in the center of the circle, diminished itself and the will to receive in it. And the greatness of the will to receive is called Malchut, which is Pchina Dalit. This one, Malchut. Pchina Dalit. In the center. The middle point. Commentary. In the place of the restriction is clarified by the this round picture, and each round, each sphere is made by the end in center, meaning the middle point in it, and it is the last prina. Meaning that we speak in such a way, you could get confused here. We can say, this is Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, and Dalet is in the end, yes? And sometimes we say, from within outwards. So inside is the Prina of Shoresh, and outside is the Prina Dalet. It depends towards which light, Pnimi, Mekif, what actions from the Creator or from the creature. So therefore, here he's saying it this way, that after the light restricted, the circles became around the middle point, and the middle point is Prina Dalet. It is the center, it is the place that from which all of reality is operated. This Prina Dalet in the center of all these circles. So far, okay? What?
Is there a reason that diminution is in the center?
Where else could it be? Wherever all the lights and kelim are in their greatest concentration. In the actual middle, in the picture, Dalit itself includes also the first three, meaning in order to reach Prina Dalit to the center, the light that operates through the first three prinot, meaning it influences and bestows upon the desire, because it happens this way. The desire and the light operates on it. And then it builds within the desire a greater desire until the center. And when he reaches the central desire, then this desire begins to give a response, to give forth a response, which ends with a restriction. Again, in the actual middle, meaning the Dalit itself includes also the first three Pchinot, meaning that there is here Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel, and the last one is Dalit. But it's not from the first three Pchinot of hers, meaning like the middle of the Pchina Dalet in them, meaning the most internal is Pchina Dalet. Restricted that light, the rising of the desire that did not want to receive to the extent of Pchina Dalet, and the matter of departure of light is a one thing, meaning that it will not be depicted in spirituality, any essence that will be of the not for the desire. What is he trying to say? These desires that are now being disclosed here are being disclosed in such a way that this is 1, 2, 3, 4. the desire that is the fourth, the most important one in Bchina Dalit, is the greatest, most powerful desire. Until we reach this desire in Bchina Dalit, which is the most powerful desire, all the rest of the desires cannot operate. Because in Bchina Dalit, when the light comes and operates and accumulates all the lights inside, Bchina Dalit becomes the source, because the light meant to her, he built her, he established her, and then she gives the response. And that's why we take her into consideration. That's it. She is the point of desire. All the rest of the previous ones, just like still, vegetative, animal, and only this last point is the speaking. That's Cham. And we take only her into our calculation. Why? Because that's where the feeling of the emanated began to occur. All the rest we can feel something. I want, I don't want. They pull me this way to there. It's like still vegetative and animal. They still operate within nature. Whereas the degree of speaking feels the emanated, meaning it's above nature. It's not that upon it it's being operated, but who is operating on it? That's what's important. Only Bchina Dalit, not the first three Bchinot. Aleph, Bet, and Gimel. But rather, only Bchina Dalit can feel the emanated, the reason for the emanated. I'm sorry, the emanator, the reason for the emanator, and who builds it, those desires in her, and from that the corrections begin. She is what we call, where you start with the I am first and I am last. From the operation of the upper light, which is the first, to the emanation, to the force, you're still first. Is that clear? Good. We will find, we'll understand each other, and you'll understand this too, how to approach the book. Okay, and he restricted that light, and the rising of the desire that did not want to receive to the extent of Bchina Dalit, and the matter of that departure of the light is one thing. Meaning, as much as it didn't want to receive, that's how the light departed. There's no coercion in spirituality. Because in spirituality there should be no essence that is not for the desire. Meaning only according to the desire. In spirituality, we're in corporeality, it's different, but in spirituality, in the upper worlds and degrees, there everything is only according to the desire, only. First desire, then the light operates according to the desire. Okay? What? To the point only. Only to the point.
Why is the desire divided?
What do you mean divide?
There was a desire, and then the light departed. And there's a few degrees to the desire.
When the light created the desire, it created it gradually. Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Prinot. When it reached Bchina Dalet is the desire which is called the speaking. Meaning it began to feel the emanator, the one that created her. She started to feel the shame. Well, we will learn that later. She wanted to respond in a different way to that which created her. So she stops receiving and wanted to define a new relation. The relations between her and the source of the light, the creator. The degrees? Because the light cannot develop the desire in one stage. We will learn why. It's not a simple question. So that there will be a connection between the desire of Bchina Dalit with the emanator, there needs to be here a system of the latter, a gradual one, by which, through all kinds of actions, thoughts, desires, the created being can be in connection with the Creator. Because Bchina Dalit that connects with the Creator, it's only desire. But the execution can only be through the previous degrees in it. Okay? And a distance to all the sides around. meaning that the light distanced to the surroundings, the distance like that from around the middle point. Meaning, after the restriction, when the light departed, in the place of the restriction, there are four sides, meaning four prinot of desire, chubtum, chochma bina tiferet malchut, which are in the future to receive special illuminations from one another. Meaning that later, when the light departs, afterwards, they will decide these four prinot, shorish, aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, how they will bestow to one another to receive the light in that graduation. And he says that they distanced from the prinah dalet to the sides of the surrounding of the middle point, meaning to prinah gimel, of the three sides, which are chub and tiferet, chet, chochma, bina and tiferet, and then to prinah bet, and chet, aleph, and then shoresh. And then an empty space and a air and void remains. Three innovations came out with the restriction. One is the empty space, the free space, meaning that it became free to receive corrections and perfection, meaning a free place for corrections, that is willing to receive the corrections and the lights according to the corrections. As there was no such place in the light of Ein Sof, there everything was filled. So the restriction, first of all, we need to see that it's an excellent thing. It gives us a place for the creature to show himself towards the emanator. And two is the empty air, because the light was cleared from all the four prinot of prinah dalet, and in the first three prinot it returned later, the illumination of the line, and therefore was inscribed also in the three prinot, empty air, meaning that just as we learn that the three prinot we have later Rosh Toch Sof, yes, and other than Prinah Dalet is completely not receiving at all what we're working. We're only working with three prinot. Prinah Dalet was cancelled from being able to be a vessel of reception, and because of its doing so in order to receive. And as similar as it is to the previous three prinot, that's already where we can work. Gimel, three, is called an empty void, and it is the last point of Prinah Dalet, because the desire is distance from it, and therefore the empty light did not come there and remained as a free void, and it is not qualified to receive their light, the primordial light, until the end of correction. Meaning Prinah Dalet cannot receive light until the end of correction, because it's completely restricted. That's where the will to receive is. In order to receive, that is the greatest of all. We say that is going to be filled only in the end of correction by the action called Rav Palim Mekavtziel, which is truly the last zivug in the end of correction defined from above. We go for all the zivugim before that, the couplings before that, which are the 613 corrections, even 612 corrections that we are capable of doing. Meaning in all of the desires to receive of ours, we can work and receive in order to bestow, except for Prinah Dalet herself. These are very delicate things that we will learn later. The very refined things. The desire to receive in Prinah Dalet cannot be corrected. It's only corrected by working on the previous three Prinot. Therefore, only after all the corrections, Prinah Dalet is revealed, and it's called Mashiach, and that's where you can do Zivug HaVakah. Then, from the actual middle point, meaning the last Prinah of Prinah Dalet, although also in the first three prinot the restriction was touching, meaning prior to the coming of the line, although because there was no restriction on their behalf at all of the previous three prinot, but only in Prinah Dalet, therefore the restriction is not called but upon the last prinah, as all the corrections are for her. Please. Yes.
friend from Israel is asking, if there's no time and place in spirituality, how do we depict the depictions in Tree of Life correctly?
I don't know what he's saying. Learn with us without wiseness. Let him learn with us without being a smart aleck. I am saying that Kabbalists made many pictures and filmed those pictures that are supportive of our understanding of the place that we're learning. There for a blessing. And that's it. Yes.
Question from Novosibirsk. How do you get to a state that you don't understand something and you already have some sort of understanding? How do you see it as something new? What you said before.
I understand. I try to always learn something as if I don't know in advance. Maybe I will learn something new, maybe a new angle. Maybe I didn't understand it correctly. I was wrong, and so forth. And other than that, when I learn in such a way, I always have a new illumination. Whereas if I'm reminded by all that I knew before, that's called a night wise. I think I'm smart, but I don't get any innovation. That's why it's worthwhile for us to concentrate on what's written. What I drew here, I did not come out of what he writes. And that's how we will try to learn. We'll try to learn the Tree of Life with the commentary of Baal HaSulam in a way that is simple, as it is. You will see after a few more pages how good this is and how it all works out nicely. And if you start to bring here all kinds of wiseness from each and what he understands, oh boy. Yes, Gil.
Fabrizio's also asking, is the light position, is it Kli, or is it also an equivalence of form with it?
Is the light the light wants the equivalence of form with the Kli, otherwise it wouldn't obligate the Kli to do a restriction in all the actions for correction, so that the Kli will reach the equivalence of form with the light. It's altogether the lights that are shaking the Kilim. Well,
another question. If the light is restricted and there's only... How is it? How much is it restricted? Is it restricted in a certain way from Ein Sof?
There's no restriction in the light. Even though it may seemingly be written that way, the restriction is only on the desire. And according to the restriction of the desire, the light departs from the desire. Meaning it also doesn't depart. There's also no movement in the light, but the desire that was restricted does not feel the light in it. The light is in absolute rest. All the actions, all the movements are in the desire, inside the Kli.
There's a light that filled the whole reality, and then...
Because that's how the Kli fills it. That the Kli is the reality, and the light fills the Kli. The light fills the reality. Now the Kli has been restricted, so he doesn't feel the light in it. But the light remains. That, please don't forget.
Possible to say that the light continues to fill all of reality. In terms of the Kli, there's a departure.
Permanent, it doesn't continue, it's just permanently that way. All the actions, also now we are in the light of Ein Sof, all of the actions are only on our behalf in order to feel him. Yes.
Says that there's three renewals, and I can't understand what exactly is different here between them. What's a vacant place?
The free place is the light that was in the desire and that departed. The desire without the light is called a free place. One. Two is empty air. Because the light was departed from all four prinot that are in Prinat Dalet. As in the first three prinot, where the of hers, then the light of Kav returned to, and therefore it's inscribed there as empty air, meaning there's no real light of Chochmah there, but rather only the light of Chassadim, very small, because Pchina Dalit is can no longer receive in order to bestow. Therefore, the light that fills the three Pchinot is called empty air, Avir Rekani.
Is it possible to say that this clean air is like a empty space, that there's just these three lines?
The free place is the free place. It's not a free place already. It's there in the filling of the Avir Rekani, the empty air. The empty air is the light of Chassadim, let's say, without the light of Chochmah.
So what's left? What's this empty space if there's the clean air?
Pchina Dalit. Then he calls it a void, a halal. Are you talking about two? Two is empty air, because the light departed from all the four prinot of Pchina Dalit, as in the first three prinot of it. It then came back with the illumination of the line, and therefore in those places it's called Avirikani. It came back and was inscribed there. Except for Pchina Dalit, which remained as an empty space. Of course, it left and came back.
So these three renewals are happening one after the other?
Yes. And then Pchina Gimel is called an empty void, and that's the last Pchina of Pchina Dalet, because it, the desire is distanced from it, and therefore later the light of the line did not come there, and it remained as an empty void, a free void, which you cannot receive light to the end of correction there. Only in the end of correction, the last action of the end of correction is to work with that Pchina Dalet and truly receive in it in order to bestow. That's the act of the Messiah, of the Mashiach.
In the fourth discernment, it doesn't have any corrections. Does it feel the emanated? That's what I heard. Does it feel the emanated? Is that not a correction?
Pchina Dalet is the will to receive in order to receive. It stops itself and doesn't receive and doesn't use it. All the corrections are in the three Pchinot above her, which she builds and fills with light. And she herself protects herself, keeps herself, because there's no correction for her until the end of correction. After we correct the first three Pchinot in receiving in order to bestow there, in the light of Chassadim, in Vak, in rising of Malchut Bina, and all those things, raising the Kelim from Biat Hatzot, and all those discernments. After that, Pchina Dalet remains alone, empty, and all the three Pchinot are filled with light. And then there's the correction called Rav Pa'alim Mekavtzeel, a special one, that Pchina Dalet too is corrected and is capable of receiving in order to bestow. Yes.
So the feeling of the emanated is not considered a correction?
The feeling of the... What feeling? I don't know what you mean.
Because I heard that the three first discernments don't feel the emanated, only the fourth.
From her feeling the emanated and doing a restriction, she does this restriction. Pchina Dalet doesn't feel anything, because the first three carry out the action of Pchina Dalet.
So I'm asking about this action that determines what's done. Is this considered a correction?
She is constantly doing corrections. Only Pchina Dalet does the corrections. Where does she do the corrections? In the three Pchinot, in the upper three. Yes.
I don't understand, even though you explained. What's the difference between an empty place and an empty air? And can you make this clear?
What is called a void, a space?
Fourth discernment?
A place without light. What's a free place? Also without light. What is called avir, air? That's already light, but the light of Chassadim. So there's a state where the light departed from the whole kli, and then it's called a space, a void, And then, when we continue with the three pchinot and not to pchinot dalet, that's called that there is avir, and here it is an empty air. We will learn this more. The discernments are kind of, for the time being, not precise. You'll see. This is still Aleph talks about these pchinot. Okay. What do you want to say about the method of study? What do you want to change, maybe? What to do? The fact that we need to be together with the book, that's for sure. And not to bring here any wise things from any other place. Even if you bring it and say, look, look what's written. I won't see what's written. We are learning what's written here. And therefore, this is suitable for everyone. It's not like those wise Alex that have been studying for a long time and remember everything. That's one thing. The second thing is that simple. We will study what is in the book and you will see how much this gives you the general picture of all of creation from the beginning to its end and from the end to the beginning. And truly, now comes the question, how many times a week are you capable of coming to study? Once, twice, three times, four, five, how many? Once? Twice? Who will only study twice here? Only one. Who to study three times? Four? Five? Six? Seven? Eight? So really, what do you think? Well? Five times? Yes, Moshe.
We'll have a list, a survey, and we'll ask everyone. Onset of World Kli.
Okay, it's not important to me.
Everything can change because of work and day to day and so on.
I am willing to study this as many times as you want. For the time being, also if you don't want, we will continue with the Zohar. We have to also do the Zohar. If we're fatigued from this, we can go back to the Zohar until we finish it. And that's how it is. Okay. What did you want?
If we put out a survey, then you can say that we're studying every day in Tree of Life.
What book? Oh, a survey.
We can move on to Zohar, and this will be one question, and then the question of how many days they can study.
It doesn't matter to me. You can tell me that same evening that you're not ready for the Tree of Life, and we'll study Zohar. We'll study Zohar, or to the contrary. However you want. Okay? That's it. Are we done? Yes. Amnon wants to say.
I think on Sunday we can't study. And on the weekends we'll learn Zohar. So we have 4 days left that we can, whoever can, study Tree of Life. He said that Friday and Saturday will be for Zohar.
Well, not everything could be, but we won't be able to study the Tree of Life there because there's many people that don't study at all.
So yeah, Friday and Saturday.
Okay, let it be. So tomorrow we're studying in short. Thursday, yes? Okay. You will enjoy this. You will see that this is a book that is beautiful. It comes in that clear, smooth way it does it. Just don't draw anything that you know. If you can forget, it's best. Succeed and go home. You want to sing? Sing. Yeah.
Yeah.